www.ReachMeDia.com. The president is capturing the airwaves, 8 o'clock Eastern, on Wednesday to talk about Afghanistan and offer up a blueprint. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show, as we zig and zag all over the place. Part of the conversation is still about Afghanistan. We'll wait and see what specifically is said in the president's address, but a big chunk of it, obviously, is about drawing down the troops, how many, when it's going to happen, ultimately how Afghanistan takes over the reins of its security and its country. I'll be curious as to some of the things that are featured besides the troop withdrawal in this speech, maybe some of the ways that that's going to be implemented. And you can be sure we'll be talking about that a lot on the next version of ATN. In the meantime, what about Libya, Libya, Libya? 90 days and counting. I hate to say I told you so. And not like I'm some genius, because probably 80% of the people on talk radio or who write columns, or maybe many of you across America, felt like, what are we doing? What's going on? Are you kidding? By September, we're talking about spending over $1 billion for our efforts in aiding, wink, wink, NATO in getting Gaddafi. The bottom line is, so far, if they were taking target practice, they are not hitting anything in the center. Everyone around him, perhaps, some other family members are falling, but not Gaddafi himself. Muammar Gaddafi is elusive. It's like whack-a-mole, only you never hit the right mole. John McCain, Senator McCain, and Senator John Kerry are ponying up on a bill that they hope goes through, where they're talking about, you've got to get this guy, and if you don't, then it spells trouble for the U.S. We can't let this slip away, this opportunity, even if it means some funding. So McCain was short, sweet, and very much to the point. Take a listen.
Gaddafi is going to fall. It's just a matter of time.
So he says he's going to fall. He believes that eventually, if you go after enough people, you're going to hit the right target, which, by the way, there are some civilians who have been in the middle of this in Misrata. Many of you already know that. We've talked about that. And this is part of the collateral damage of going after this nut. But who ultimately takes over? How do we work with that government? And are they going to be better than Gaddafi? These are questions we have no answer to at this point. So how much more do we invest? If you had a vote in this, would you vote, yeah, let's keep funding it? Speaking of voting, that's what happened with the FDA. This is big news because gory pictures, controversial pictures, always have people up in arms or applauding the effort. The idea was for the cigarette warning labels this time to try to knock it out of the park. So to have photographs of cancerous teeth, to have a guy with the tracheotomy where the smoke was pouring out, to have a guy who was dead with his chest just newly sewed up as he had gone through an autopsy, and to present these graphic photographs with very little words telling the world, or at least the United States, that you don't want to smoke because this is what could happen to you. But will it be successful? Will it chase people away from their habit? And I think it's pretty tough to break this habit. I think, in fact, it's one of the toughest things somebody could do. Travis is listening to us in Washington. He gets the first crack this hour. Hey, Travis.
Hey. My comment is to the cigarette thing. Even though that they smoke or whatever, I think it will be extremely tough for them. My sister smokes right now, which I can understand if she has a job and can support the habit, but there's people out there that don't have a job and go out there and take stuff off of other people, but if they truly want to be healthy with themselves, they're going to have to find a way to get off the cigarettes. Even Amsterdam banned cigarettes because they're so bad.
Yeah, but in Amsterdam they smoke pot. They smoke hash.
Yeah, that's just as bad, though.
Well, you smell like you get high just walking down the streets of Amsterdam. But okay, no cigarette smoking, no tobacco. You're right. You're right about that.
My brother recently quit smoking, but he went to chewing tobacco, which is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, I've heard of some people who've done that. And, of course, one of the best things, Travis, that you could suggest, the patch seems to work for a lot of people.
Or chewing gum.
Yeah. And I wonder, overall, if the graphic warnings will cut down on the number of people who decide they're going to light them up. Do you think that this would work in your family? Do you think the graphic messages...
It might take up... Yeah, I would say it's possible, but I'm not saying it would or it wouldn't, but it's possible. Because if people truly knew what was in cigarettes, I really don't think they would be smoking.
Yeah, all the stuff that's put in there to keep you addicted to it.
Yeah, they've got methane, they've got like a bunch of other stuff too. Like, I'm trying to think of one. I think they put Drano in it and stuff.
Drano?
Yeah, that's to do with the methane and stuff.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm not for sure on it.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've heard that rumor before that has been tossed out there, but certainly some of the other things that would keep you addicted, some of the other additives, things that would keep you wanting to light up are definitely in there. Remember, there was Jeffrey Wigand, who was one of the ultimate whistleblowers on the tobacco industry. That's what that was all about. Travis, thanks for the call. And certainly that's the idea, to keep you wanting to get cigarettes and to keep buying the product. If you're any of the Philip Morris, any of the big tobacco companies, that's what they want to happen. As much as they also will say, oh, we don't sell to underage kids and we card and we try to push that and whatever. The message is they want to sell cigarettes. I mean, they're a company. They want to make a profit. I'm not sure. I think I agree with Travis that will the graphic, gory labels, will it chase the hardcore smoker away? Well, no. Will it chase the younger smoker away who just started? I'm going to say no. I don't think you're really going to catch that many people because of the insidious nature of the whole thing and the way it grabs hold of you and how many people try so hard to quit smoking and end up spending money on being hypnotized, and they go to other programs, smoke enders, and use the patch, like I mentioned, because they can't seem to wean themselves off of it. But I guess the frustration for the FDA, of course the frustration is there, and what do they come up with? What's the magic recipe for having people not smoke? And the answer is, there is none. There is no magic potion for that, or pill. Uh-uh. Coming up next, around the bend, we're going to check the email. Plus, Roger Madden tries to solve the riddle of the relationship between the Jews and the Christians.
Are you a leader or board member of a newer nonprofit? Then you're building your nonprofit while wondering, are we doing this right? Well, stop wondering and start listening. Tune into WebTalkRadio.net and Nonprofit Spark to hear nuts and bolts advice about fundraising, planning, finances, and more. The conversations are geared to newer leaders like you. So boost your nonprofit know-how and confidence. Tune into WebTalkRadio.net and Nonprofit Spark today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237. Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
So do me a favor, America, because I'm not going to let the cigarette thing go for a second. If you're not a smoker but you have friends who smoke and you start to see these ads circulating where they take up 20% of a billboard or whatever, see if there's any reaction. I want to know if there's any reaction, to the graphic, we keep using the same word, but it is graphic, the graphic nature of these 9 photographs that are meant to send people running into the night and throwing their cigarettes down the drain. I really don't think they're going to have that dent that they are hoping for the FDA. But the best test of that is in your own world, or if you're a smoker, if you start to see that, is that really going to make you put down the cigarettes or think twice? I'm still sticking to my original statement. It's very addictive. As Travis said, there are things in the cigarette that make you want to come back for more, so I think it's going to be pretty tough. All right, in this segment, a couple of things. We're going to check the mail. But before we do that, I turned to my pal Roger Madden, and this is a good commentary. He tackles the subject of Jews and Christians. Take a listen.
I really don't know what it is about Jewish liberals who get their underwear in a twist about Christian fundamentalists. This is Roger Madden, and this is what I think. Modern Orthodox Christianity has long abandoned its anti-Semitic dogma, which began to appear during the European Middle Ages right into the middle of the 20th century. Its main characteristic was hateful violence upon a small minority of people whose only crime, if you want to call it that, was their refusal to accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. The irony is that the very concept of a Messiah was a long-held belief among Jews long before before Christianity even came upon the scene. And therefore, if some alien came to Earth and observed Jews and Christians today, at least with respect to their interpretation of the universe and their ethical prescripts, he would be hard-pressed to recognize any differences whatsoever. In the aftermath of World War II, observing the results of their anti-Semitic dogma, Christians adopted the view that Jews were in fact their older brothers, somewhat intransigent, perhaps imperfect, but a people to whom they owe their fundamental beliefs and find joy in their connection. Today, Israel is a Jewish state, and many Christians throughout the world, especially Christian fundamentalists, strongly support Israel and the Jewish people. If you believe that people have the capacity to learn and change, as I do, then here we have the perfect example. It is probably at this point, being a Jew, that I part ways with many of my Jewish liberal brethren, since I accept the hand of friendship and love of those Christians who offer it. We share the same book and the same stories. We share the love for the God who created the universe for us, and together we shall lie down in green pastures, and together we shall feel no evil. This is Roger Madden, and that's what I do.
All right, how about that? Roger clarifying, too, at the end and saying, hey, I'm a Jew, and we share the same book. You heard what he said there. Interesting, because that relationship is being examined so much over what we're seeing happen in Israel now at this point, and, well, really in the Middle East, and that relationship with the Palestinian state, with the Arabs, and with the Jews in Israel, the tensions that still have not eased at this point. All right, without further ado, let's head to the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. All right, this one comes to us from Betty, who says, Kate, I'm curious, I heard this just a short while ago. I'm hoping that you get a chance to look at my email. Well, we're doing that now. When you talk about cigarette smoking, what is the scoop about tobacco? And when you look at tobacco, and where did it peak, and where is it now, and what the smoking rates are, do you have any kind of numbers or statistics on that? All right, Bet, thanks for that call. There are loose statistics, because I think it's a tough thing to measure. I mean, how do you know for sure? People have to voluntarily say that they smoke, be part of a study, do a survey, whatever. And I guess you can sort of round up numbers or look around and kind of try to figure it out. The one number that I saw is when they talk about cancers, that 38% of all cancer deaths in men, 23 in women, are believed, and that's a strong word, believed to be attributed to cigarette smoking. Now, we go back to 2001. There are 450,000 Americans who die annually from diseases related to cigarette smoking. The American Cancer Society is saying that 3,000 non-smoking adults die every year from lung cancer from the effects of secondhand smoke. So there's a few loose numbers for you. And lung cancer, we all know, would be the most. And tobacco was linked to lung cancer a long, long time ago when they decided that some of the cases that cropped up happened with tobacco workers. And so they've been documenting that for a while, and they're following, they being the American Cancer Society, following smoking trends. So with lung cancer, 79% of the women who die from lung cancer, it's believed to be really related to smoking, 90% in men. And that completely makes sense if you think about it. And you could go through all the other cancers and how much does smoking affect it or not. I think the secondhand smoke is the interesting thing, too, because if they're saying they can attribute yearly 3,000 deaths to secondhand smoking, I'm thinking, does this person just work with all smokers, or does this person have a spouse or a significant other who likes to smoke, and that's part of the problem? But I think any of those numbers are not good numbers. You don't want to hear that because you're hanging out with a smoker, your chances of getting the very thing that you really shouldn't get because you're not a smoker would happen just because it's second hand. You know, I think the thing with the smoking is how it used to be, certainly in movies, very glamorized. If you go back and look at some of the classic movies, and have we really gotten away from the Marlboro Man or the movie stars who smoked in those old movies or even in some of the television shows? What's also curious is what a big business anti-smoking has become. You know, there's always the other side of it. So the United States spends $150 billion a year on healthcare costs related to smoking. $150 billion. That's a lot. When we're talking about cigarettes and what's in cigarettes, cigarettes have 4,800 chemicals. 69 of the chemicals are proven to cause cancer. That's a scary number. 4,800 chemicals in something that you're smoking. Oh, that might be, that number might be enough to chase me away if I had a habit I was having a hard time kicking. All right, this one is from Adam. Adam says, hello, Kate Delaney. I'm curious as to what you think is going to happen with the NFL. I know you used to cover the league exclusively, so I've got to think you've got some sources. Are you hearing conflicting reports? Are you hearing that they're near an agreement? What say you? Thanks for the email. I've gotten conflicting reports, actually, because initially and even just as of a week ago, when I say someone's a source, you know, somebody who has some credibility with me, they've broken stories, they have, I know, true insiders that they're around, and two people that fit that bill said that it didn't look like there was going to be a season based on the meetings and the reports and everything that came out, and they're smothering this. So they were in Chicago, they're around the players, they're around the owners, and now it's time to put up or shut up as we get through the dog days of summer. Either they're going to cut a deal or they're not. I mean, it's that simple. Either there's going to be a deal or forget it, all bets are off. And I'm not sure. It depends on which way the wind blows that particular day. I tend to agree with the people who think we might lose a game or two. Because when it comes down to it, it's a business. And do the business people of football want to see that slip through their fingers? And the answer is no. It's too much revenue. It's too much revenue to let that happen. All right, coming up, we got a big apology from a big movie star. And I think it's pretty sincere, but I want you to hear it, and you let me know what you think. That's next.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boosts resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Forget everything you've been told about long-term food storage. When the collapse happens, you'll need the single most effective way to get high-powered Delta Force nutrients to your family fast. Like any Special Forces commando, you need a plan. You need a Black Hawk Down food plan. Introducing the Survival Sprout Bank from Solutions from Science. It's your countertop survival garden. Yes, grow fresh greens right on your countertop in just a few short days. Sprouts are the green shoots that emerge from newly germinated seeds, and they are powerhouses of living, easily absorbed nutrients. The Survival Sprout Bank is a complete kit with nothing else to buy. And with sprouts so easy to grow, even children can grow emergency food. Call 877-327-0365 or go to SurvivalSproutBank.com. That's 877-327-0365 or order online at SurvivalSproutBank.com. Survival Sprout Bank, your Black Hawk Down emergency food plan.
Crossing the stage, I know you can feel the excitement. Shake it up.
So you're listening to America Tonight. This is Kate Delaney. Coast to coast and all those flyover states. I know some of you are probably smoking a cigarette now. You know the expression, I'm going to go burn one. I used to work with a guy, he'd say, Kate, just keep the show going, I'm going to go burn one. And I love this man, too. His name was Dave Markham. And he grew up in Kentucky, and he grew up around tobacco. And he said, you know, if I am going to die anyway eventually, I want to die a happy guy. And he was in good shape. He wasn't a giant eater. He didn't eat a bunch of crappy food. But his thing was smoking cigarettes. And he attributed that to radio, because he had been in radio a long time, and a lot of people in radio smoked. He went back to the album rock days, when you had those deep pipes when you were a guy, and you'd put on a long cut and go and smoke a cigarette. Well, sometimes you could just smoke right in the studio, I'm sure. Matt, you've been in the business now a little while, and you've noticed that there has been an influx of people in various stages of your working environment where they smoked.
Yeah, there are definitely a lot of the people I've met along the way have been smokers, and you even have the kind of old dinosaurs who, like some of them I met in broadcasting school, who told me, quit smoking, don't start smoking, you know, everyone in the industry smokes, but everyone wants to quit because, I mean, in radio, you need your voice, and if you keep smoking, there's a chance you're going to lose it.
Absolutely. Some will say that, oh, well, it deepens your pipes, but for a short time, and then you're taking the gamble as to what will happen. But it is an industry where people smoke. Another industry where people smoke a lot is the movie business, and I'm talking about some of the people behind the scenes, the grips, the photographers, and the actors, because it's a weight suppressant, actually. It's an appetite suppressant. When you're reaching for something, instead smoking cigarettes or drinking coffee or whatever, they're not eating food. And then the other guys on the set or other women on the set, they have to waste so much time in between. Sometimes they have 16-hour days, crazy hours, and they smoke. They develop that habit. They smoke cigarettes. So a lot of people, it is kind of shocking because of how California is so healthy, but a lot of people in California smoke. Let's go to Josh in Kentucky. Hey, Josh.
Hi, Kate. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm all right. So every time I hear the government or someone talk about smoking, it just irritates the crap out of me. I'm so tired of them dictating what I can do with my body, all because Obama supposedly has quit smoking now. You know, it's just, it's irritating. But if one thing is, if they get rid of all the smokers, what are they going to tax next? Where are they going to get their source of income? They're constantly trying to get rid of us. I'm a smoker, if you couldn't tell, but I don't know what they're going to do if they get rid of smokers. What are they going to tax next? Are they going to, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, good point. What are they going to tax next if they can't tax cigarettes because they tax it out the yang? As Josh, you know, because what do you pay for a pack of cigarettes?
Oh, it's not bad in Kentucky. We're the second lowest price state right now. So it's about,
oh, that's good.
It's about $4.50 a pack over here, so it's not bad here.
Right.
But if you go other states like New York and stuff like that, they're like $10 a pack.
It's, I know. Like,
I don't see how anybody can afford to smoke up there.
Right.
And it's just, and what are they going to do next? Put pictures of morbidly obese people on a Big Mac or something like that? I don't know.
Well,
what
that's been
do.
Josh. You know, that's been talked about the calling it the sin tax, that when they're taxing those who decide that they want to eat the bad food, or the fat tax. In some places they call it the fat tax. Really is more apropos than the sin tax. That makes you think of prostitution. They've talked about that before. But they've talked about doing that in New York and Chicago, that they would tax the food. And that's not right either, because what if somebody's healthy and they just reach for Doritos once in a while?
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I'm tired of dictating about what I can do with my body and what I can't do with my body.
Right. And in the meantime, hey, you could compare all of what supposedly are the ills of the world, smoking cigarettes versus somebody driving smashed in a car.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, that's the best. Great call, Josh. Thanks for the call. He makes a great point that really, do you need the government dictating that to us? We're adults, and he's right. It's your life to do with it as you choose, whether you're addicted to food, addicted to cigarettes, addicted to whatever it is. And the cigarette smoking versus booze, there's no comparison when it becomes an issue as somebody's driving and they've had too much to drink. And then somebody could argue, well, there's crackdowns on drunk driving and roadside stops have been set up and holidays and, of course, you've got the DUIs and the more stringent penalties, but that argument doesn't really wash with me. There are other things that the government could do, like stop spending so bloody much and just try to stay in the black, get close to the black, sniff the black, somehow just be there on the line and not be over into the red constantly, and then say, well, we're too big to let this happen. We can't default on loans. We're stuck. What are we going to do? And that keeps being the answer. And in the case of the revenues, he's right. In the case of the revenues from the taxing, that's it. that's what they're looking for. What can we tax? For goodness sake, it's like the internet. Oop, internet, we got to get ours. We got to get in there, and we're going to have to go after the internet for all the people who are ordering things from Amazon or whatever. We'll just put that tax out there, and, you know, you're supposed to pay that state income tax, and if not, we're just going to have to figure out a way to enforce it. We've got to be able to do that. So it is also a question of that. It's interesting that Josh brought that up. All right, I said that we were going to let you hear the world's, I think, lately, most sincere apology. This is from the comedian Tracy Morgan, who, in his stand-up, apparently took an anti-gay stance, a swing that offended some people, so he decided he was going to go back to Georgia, where he did that, and issue a mea culpa. Take a listen.
I apologize to my friends and my family and my fans and everyone in every community who offended with this. I didn't know. I didn't mean it.
Yeah, I got to say, I think he's pretty sincere. I think that when you hear, and it's a daily thing, whether it's a politician from Anthony Weiner to Governor Mark Stanford, or whether it's an athlete who did the steroid thing and came clean on the steroids, or, you know, I can give you a slew of different examples of apologies. I'd say that ranks up there with pretty sincere. I think Morgan didn't mean to do that in his comedy act, and couldn't believe that he all of a sudden was in the middle of this controversy and just wanted to get back as fast as he could to issue that apology, and he did. So good for him. I think this is one of those controversies that just, poof, it, you know, dies out. With comedians, it's such a dicey thing because comedy is about that. Comedy is about stretching boundaries and stepping in and right over the line, just stepping on it and stepping over it. If you want to be heard, if you want to maybe make a statement about something that's going on, but just in general, comedy, that's the idea of comedy. Think of Jon Stewart, who's making a living, his writers and Stewart, on making fun of all the people that make headlines, especially the politicians. So in the case of Morgan, a little different from behind the desk, but now he's out there doing the stand-up thing, and of course he's on 30 Rock. I really don't think he meant to trip that switch at all. I think it dies because you could hear the sincerity in what he said. And maybe that's part of it. We might be a forgiving country, but we can tell when somebody's not sincere. You can tell when nothing happens, nothing happens, nothing happens, and then suddenly an apology is issued.
Everyone
because
loves them.
They're forced to apologize. And that's what it was with Anthony Weiner, because he kept saying, you know, his account was hacked, his Twitter account was hacked, that's what happened, and he didn't want to cop to what he had done because they had caught him. Or you look at someone like, I know I'm using the example of the politicians, but there's others. You look at the example of John Edwards, who apologizes after the fact, after he couldn't come back again and make up some story about the child that he had with the videographer who was on the campaign trail with him when he was running for president. Then he has to say something. He has to issue that apology because he doesn't want to seem like the bad guy. And in the case of Morgan, that's why I said, world's most sincere apology, at least for now. How's that? All right, coming up on America Tonight, odds and ends. Believe it or not, besides the whole smoking thing and the FDA with the graphic warning labels that are going to be on billboards and on other advertisements with cigarette smoking, or, you know, cigarettes they're pushing, Virginia Slims, whatever. You're going to see it there. We're going to talk about some of the other things that make what I call water cooler buzz.
Go off the grid for worry-free phone calls now.
Yes, worry-free, affordably priced, no-hassle mobile, residential, or business phones can be yours at offthegridphones.com. Our plans start at only $14.99 per month for residential and only $39.99 per month for mobile. And our mobile rates include taxes and surcharges. That's cheaper than the top three providers in North America. What makes us off the grid? We never ask for your social security number and never run a credit check or make you sign a contract, something those large phone companies can't offer. Offthegridphones.com offers some of the lowest, most affordably priced plans in the industry. And popular low-priced mobile phones are available too. So make the switch today to offthegridphones.com for mobile, residential, or business phones. Get your off-the-grid phone by calling 800-600-5553. That's 800-600-5553 or go to offthegridphones.com. Affordable, private, all this and more at offthegridphones.com.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Down the street with a crippled way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of speech. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip. To the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust, yeah. Gonna get to do another one bites the dust.
As we head for the exits of this hour of America Tonight, a little odds and ends for your listening pleasure with me, Kate Delaney. Here's the scoop. I am already tired of the whole Casey Anthony thing, but I believe, you know, we live in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty. I think she is guilty as the day is long, and I hope there is not a juror that votes that she is not guilty. When I see the pictures of her young child, I can hardly believe it. I think, well, if you didn't want the responsibility, you didn't want the child, there are plenty of people that would have adopted that beautiful daughter that she had, Kaylee. Instead, we're talking about being in a courtroom now for how many weeks and how long has this story gone on? What they talked about this time around was the fact that, because it's the defense's turn, the prosecution is rested. The defense team is saying that the two-year-old's body, Kaylee's remains, might have been in the woods for just 2 weeks. I think what the defense is trying to do is, it's like spaghetti, let's throw it against the wall and let's see what sticks. First, we're going to blame the father and say he was a molester and, you know, was inappropriate with his daughter, so she was threatened by him, so her daughter drowned in his pool, and they didn't want to say anything to anyone, and she was terrified to rise up against him, and that's what happened there. And now they're talking about that, well, the body hadn't really been there that long. They had a forensic botanist who testified that the remains could have been there for just maybe a little less than 2 weeks or 2 weeks. Remember, she was discovered in December of 2008, which the defense is saying is a shorter time period than the prosecutors are alleging. So we're 24 days going to 25 days of this. And what the forensic botanist said and told jurors is she believed the roots could have grown through the bones, skull, and laundry bag in just 2 weeks, because the prosecution said that's how you could tell she had been there for 4 weeks. She had been there for however long. And the woman that took the stand said she believed the estimate because of the pattern of the leaf litter. The photo, in other words, at the scene in the woods where they found her. I'll be very curious as to what the closing argument, the closer is for the defense because of the crazy directions that they have taken in the matter of defending her, throwing out, like I said, spaghetti against the wall. And the judge ruled that the DNA expert, Richard Eichenblum, wouldn't be allowed to testify about the decomposing evidence found in the trunk of the car until a hearing was held, because he's saying that the defense violated his pretrial order that all expert witnesses present detailed reports about what they plan to testify to, and that didn't happen. Now, this is so crazy, they even had a one-day delay because of all the bickering. There's so much up and down bickering. I mean, like the worst episode of, I don't know, The Good Wife. There's a million law shows out there. So it's just up and down, up and down, up and down. And the judge said, okay, yeah, this isn't happening. We gotta go in a different direction here. Another odds and ends worth mentioning. Anytime the Americans do well when it comes to Wimbledon or any of the Grand Slams, that's a flower among thorns, I guess, because really the Americans have struggled. If you look at the top of the tennis ladder, it used to be, you know, you had your John McEnroes way back when, and Jimmy Connors and Andre Agassi and Pete Sampras, and I'm thinking of the men. Of course, for the women, you had Chris Evert, and you have the Williams sisters, Serena back and winning in three sets her first rounder, and she was so overcome with emotion, she just cried. I've never seen her cry. She just cried because she almost died with the blood clots, with the operations on her foot, two different operations. And then there's the case of where we're at now in men's tennis, as I was mentioning, and how sad it is. When I drive by these playgrounds and I see kids playing, I guess they're not that serious, or there is no pipeline, or just other people around the world have gotten that much better. Andy Roddick won his match, and Roddick says he feels pretty comfortable hanging around Wimbledon. He's been having meals with Marty Fish and his wife Brooklyn Decker is there. And he feels like he just belongs. It kind of fits like a glove, his act in London on the courts. Here's Roddick.
When I'm here in London, I don't feel like I'm traveling. I feel comfortable. Yeah, I have some friends over here, the same restaurants. A lot of familiar faces for me, so I always enjoy coming back.
All right, there you go. There you have it. Will he get comfortable enough to actually pull within striking distance, rather, of making it into the finals? That's the big question. It's the one that I think is plaguing men's tennis in particular, that they can't seem to get into the quarterfinals and close the deal and get into the finals. And wouldn't it be great to see an American make that happen? But tennis has changed so much. Unless there's a better feeder system, I think that we're going to probably continue to struggle. And then, wow, when Serena and Venus Williams are out of the game, all bets are off. There are some strong youngsters coming up, but they'll do well in a tournament, and then they kind of fade back, maybe the pressure, injuries, because injuries are huge in tennis anymore. All right, so let's zig off to another direction. Crazy story about Newt Gingrich, because we're on the watch for the Republicans and who's declaring and who falls out. I got to think Newt Gingrich is not going to be hanging around very long in the interest of all the negative publicity that has now been coming up again and again and again with the Tiffany's credit line. They say now there's a second credit line, and you're talking about $1 million. So I got to think that his wife is just dripping in diamonds because he goes to Tiffany's. He wants to keep her happy. So they've got a $500,000 to $1 million line of credit at Tiffany's. It does have a zero balance. And of course, now once they had to acknowledge it, it's been closed. But at one point, Newt did have about $500,000 of designer jewelry. So he was into Tiffany's for a lot for Callista. So last month, Gingrich, they basically said that it's a personal financial matter. And I don't believe they believed that would ever, ever see the light of day, that someone would find out about that story, dig a little bit deeper, and then start to ask some questions. And Newt should know better. I mean, he's a career politician, and that's exactly what happened. Speaking of politics, John Huntsman is not worried about diamonds. He's worried about dollars and getting the nomination, and he's already on the circuit. He declared for president, and then promptly he is headed off to a fundraising dinner in Columbia, South Carolina. And he does have some friends. He'll pick up some steam. There are going to be some people that are going to like Huntsman and some of these straw polls and whatnot. Does he have enough juice to defeat Romney and outright get the nomination over Romney and all the others who have gone all in on running for the Republican side of trying to take over 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue?
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Idiot! It's simple!
What, are you kidding me?